Well, I ask for your prayers this morning. Lord, bless His word. Really appreciated the song. I believe that the measure of success is not whether or not, the question isn't whether you faced any storms in life, but whether your anchor held. And I'm thankful that the Lord has provided for us an anchor of the soul that we can know holds. It's storm tested and time proven that it'll hold no matter what we face in our lives, that it'll be able to anchor us and keep us through the storms of life. So written on the board, I have a burden the Lord has been talking to me about of spiritual sensitivity. I'd like to begin in the book of Proverbs, 27th chapter. Of the book of Proverbs. Think about the word sensitivity. Has a lot of different connotations, maybe a lot of different meanings to it. Some of them are, to me, have a bit of a negative connotation. We hear sometimes of our world and of our society today that you need to be more sensitive, that you need to, some businesses and all, that we need to send you to sensitivity training. To be able to be sensitive and aware of those whose lifestyles are different than your own. To be able to be sensitive to that. And be able to be sensitive to their point of view and those sorts of things. Well, I'd like to consider what sensitivity means. According to Webster, it is the quality or state, of course, of being sensitive. The capacity of an organism or a sense organ to respond to stimulation. The degree to which, as an example, a radio receiving set responds to incoming waves. The ability or the sensitivity, as the example was illustrated of a radio. The ability or the sensitivity to which it's able to receive the radio signal. You get a small handheld radio set and it doesn't receive a signal very strong. Maybe you get some static mixed in with it. You don't hear it loud and clear. There's interference that interferes with the ability to understand and get the signal that it's trying to receive. You get close enough though, or you get a strong enough radio with a clear enough or a high enough degree of sensitivity, and you're able to get the signal strong and clear. Our feelings are a blessing to us. You know that? The ability of our body to sense, the ability of our body and our nerves to be able to sense pain. You know, it's a great blessing. I wonder sometimes whenever I hurt myself or you cut yourself and you're feeling the pain or you miss with the hammer and you hit the wrong nail. You wonder why it's such a blessing then. But you know, it really is a blessing to be able to sense pain. It's given to us by the Lord for a reason. There are some that have a disorder I've heard or read a little bit about that maybe they don't have feeling the way that we're supposed to or the way that we all would. They're not able to sense pain, and maybe the only way they can tell if they're being burned is whenever they smell the flesh burning. You know, that'd be a bad thing. That would be a hindrance to us. It would be a dangerous thing to us. If a child, for example, that maybe doesn't understand all the dangers of things and why you don't go and touch a hot stove, if they touched it and they felt no repercussion from it. But our nerves and the ability of our senses, our sensitivity to be able to determine, to be able to understand that there's something here that I need to respond to and I need to react to. You know, the Lord is interested in us having a spiritual sensitivity, in us being able to have spiritual senses to discern and to understand what's going on in the world around us. To be able to know whenever I get close to something that's hot, you need to get back from that. The Lord is faithful to us. to equip us with what we need to protect us from the dangers of the world around us. So I'd like to look at 27th chapter here of Proverbs, verse 12. Says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. You remember in 2004, I believe it was, and around Christmas time in December, there was an earthquake in Sri Lanka area, and it resulted in a tsunami wave that radiated out from that spot of the earthquake, and it hit the coast of Sri Lanka and India and other nations in that area. And the result of that tsunami was over 150,000 deaths. GMAT is staggering to even try to comprehend the devastation that that caused. A wave, a wall of water that moved in with such force that was beyond anything that you can reckon with. Buildings weren't able to withstand it. People weren't able to outrun it. It was a phenomenon that was really without very much warning. The waves and people were out. I was thinking it was a Sunday, but whatever day it was, they were out on the beaches, and they said that something that happened before the tsunami, the waves began to recede a little bit from the beaches, and it exposed the stretch of the shoreline that they hadn't been able to see before. People not realizing or not thinking about what that might mean, began to go out on the beach and look at the seashells and the things that were left behind and exposed. And just shortly after that, the wave came. Traveling as it travels, from what I understand, along the bottom of the ocean at hundreds of miles per hour, building momentum and force in the water that it's carrying with it, and it struck land. 150,000 people lost their lives that day. But do you know a phenomenon that they were trying to understand as they were trying to clean up and the aftermath of the devastation? They didn't find the proportions of animals that they expected to have seen. For 150,000 people to have died in that much devastation, there was relatively quite a bit fewer numbers of animals that died. There were eyewitness reports that shortly before the tsunami struck, there were elephants in the area that all of a sudden perked up and began to run the other direction. They began to run for the hills and run away from the water. And of course, if you're running away from the water, the only direction to go is uphill. But they began to run and run for safety for what had not yet happened. Birds began, flamingos, I believe it was, that were in the area, took flight and began to fly to higher ground while the people were oblivious. I don't believe in supernatural powers besides that of the Lord and that of the enemy. Don't believe in magic and those sorts of things. You know, the Lord has equipped animals with a high degree of sensitivity, with a high degree of being able. I went home, I believe it was Thursday or Friday, when the storms were in the area and a storm front was changing, and I'm not really able myself to sense barometric pressure unless it's something extreme. And you know, animals many times can sense when a storm is coming. Many times they're able, and they'll had a dog one time that would get so frantic whenever it could sense that a storm was coming, he jumped through a window that was open just a few inches. I don't know how he did it, but the panic that it caused before the storm ever struck, before the lightning was ever flashing and the rain was ever falling, they sensed that something was coming. They had a sensitivity that was greater than what our sensitivity is. They're able to sense vibration, and research and studies have shown that before humans can sense the earthquake, the animals can feel the preceding small waves that go through the ground, the shock waves, before man ever does. They're tuned with a higher sensitivity than what we are, to be able to know that something's about to happen and respond to it. You know, the Lord wants us to be able to have a spiritual sensitivity. Do you remember what the Lord did with Abraham? Whenever he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I shall do?" You know, he considered Abraham to be a friend of God, to be close to God, and one that the Lord was able to talk with and commune with and confide in. And so he went down in the flesh. He sent a messenger and spoke with him and told Abraham of what his plans were for destruction. You know, the Lord is still interested today in our time in talking to us. The Lord is still interested in having a people that He can come and talk to, that are tuned to His Spirit, that are able to have discernment, that are able to have an understanding of the times that we live in, that can hear the voice, can see the warning signs, can respond to it, can take action with it, can stand in the gap for the people that don't see and understand the things that are coming on our land. The prudent man, the wise man, is able to foresee the evil before it ever comes, because there are warning signs, because we serve a faithful God that is faithful to send warnings our way so that devastation doesn't strike our lives without warning, so that the tsunami wave doesn't come and knock us over flat on our back without any warning that there's something here you need to prepare for. There's something here that you need to take some precautions about. The simple, though, are oblivious to it all. The simple, in their simplicity, going on about their lives, going on about the things that they're so consumed with, they pass right on. They pass the warning signs. They pass the things that should be indicators to get their attention. They pass it right on by, keep headed straight for destruction without ever stopping and changing course or changing their ways. The Lord gave us an example in the book of Proverbs, even of the ant. Remember that? Sixth chapter of Proverbs. Instruction of the slothful man. It says, "Go to the ant," sixth verse, "thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." Go to the ant. That the Lord is equipped with the ability, the instincts. What are instincts? But what God has programmed and equipped an animal with, a creature with, to be able to know the things that they need to do. But it is the Lord that equips to be able to prepare for their survival, to be able to know whenever it's time to pack up and head south for the winter, to be able to just know whenever it's time to provide food, to begin to lay up store for what has not yet even transpired or come to pass. The winter that's not even hit yet. You know, it's a real contrast to the way many people live their lives. Many people just go through life just taking it as it comes, just flying by the seat of their pants, so to speak. Never seeing the things that are before. Never making preparation or provision for tomorrow. Never thinking beyond today and the here and now and this present time and the way that I feel, and the things that I want, the things that I want to do and provide for myself, never looking beyond that. The simple ones. Lord, help us so we not be simple in spiritual things. That I not pass all the warning signs in my life. That I be tuned in to a high degree of sensitivity to the Spirit of the Lord. Because that is what will equip us. That's what will warn us. That's what will show us the things that otherwise I can't see of myself, that I'm not able to understand. You know, I, in a natural sense, am not a very perceptive person. Remember one time I worked at a home improvement store and building material section, and a man came up and said, "Excuse me, sir, could you mind cutting some wood for me?" And so I took his wood and I took his order, and I was there cutting the wood for him, and I was focused on that and had quite a few cuts, so it took me a little while, and I kept noticing a man out of the corner of my eye standing. And we're trained in customer service. When somebody needs you, stop what you're doing and ask if you can help them. And so I did as I was trained to do. I stopped my cutting. I turned around and said, "Sir, can I help you with something?" He said, "Well, you could finish cutting my wood." And I said, "Oh, yeah, I'll do that." But I was so unobservant that I didn't even notice what the man looked like. I didn't even notice what he was wearing. To the point I turned around and I saw him a few minutes later, and to me he was a stranger. To me he was a new person. I, in the natural sense, can just be oblivious to details around me. There are some times that Katrina tends to be more perceptive, I guess, in some things than I am, that I just don't even notice, don't even pick up on it. But you know, in a spiritual sense, that's a dangerous way to be. In a spiritual sense, we cannot afford to be oblivious. We cannot afford to not see, to not be able to pick up on the warning signs, to not be able to perceive and discern and understand where the enemy's working. Because we understand and know that the enemy doesn't broadcast to us what he's doing. The enemy doesn't advertise to us, "I am the enemy and I'm working here." But instead he disguises himself as an angel of light. He loves to put on the cloak of Christianity. He loves to put on the name even of Church of God. But the enemy, we need to be able to have an understanding, a spiritual sensitivity, that I can have an awareness, that I can have that within my spirit and that within my understanding, that the Spirit of the Lord can touch. Go to the ant. That the Lord has equipped and prepared, given the ability to discern and see before an event happens, and take appropriate action. Turn with me, if you would, to the 16th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him that he would shew them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, "When it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times?" You know, it was necessary for people in a society like this, or it was at least very helpful, very advantageous, to be able to read the signs of weather, to be able to know and make plans and for the crops and for the fishing, and is it going to be a good day to go out and fish today, to be able to look at the signs of the sky. They were accustomed to that. That was their livelihood. It was what they had done for year after year after year. Do you know, we today, as a general rule, have lost many sensitivities in a natural sense. Those that are accustomed to living outdoors, the generations that have gone before, that were able to discern things about weather patterns and about foliage and about animals and animal behavior and all those kind of things, that when we are accustomed to living indoors, we don't exercise those senses. I don't have to be able to discern. You get with somebody that has lived in the outdoors, that's a true avid outdoorsman. You walk through the woods with them and they'll be able to say, "See that twig over there that's broken? You see that the trampled grass over there? You know what that means? You know what this is? You know what's been here?" At a time when I would walk through and see nothing but leaves and trees and grass and miss so much. But they have a sensitivity to something that they are accustomed to exercising, that they're accustomed to using over and over and over. And you know, in many ways, it's the same way with spiritual things. He said here unto the Pharisees that you're able to do that. You're able to see natural things. Oh, people are so tuned in many times to natural things. So tuned in to the things that interest them, the things that they spend their time and their energy and their love on. They can tell you all about it. They can see those that are tuned in and live the political world, whose life revolves around politics. They can read the polls. They can sense the shifts and the changes in public opinion and look at historical trends and say, we think this is what's going to happen. They're tuned into it. It's what they've spent their lives studying, what they've given themselves unto. Folks, we have something much more important to give ourselves to. We have a work that's much more important, the stakes of which are much more vital for us today to be able to get this thing right. Folks, we've got one chance to be able to get this thing right. Lord, help me to be able to have a sensitivity to the things of God, to be able to discern the signs of the time that we're living in today. I don't want to be as one whose eyes are blinded and they're desensitized to the things that have happened. You know, many people in our world today would agree that if the things that are happening today had happened 50 years ago, what an outcry there would be. What protests and outcries, and they'd be ready to impeach people. They'd be ready to throw them out of office. And this kind of thing doesn't happen. But where's the outrage today? For the most part, non-existent. You know, people have become desensitized. Their sensitivity has been numbed. It's been dumbed down to the point that they don't have feeling. They don't have the sensitivity that they should have. Before we go on any further, I want to consider what it means for us to have a sensitivity. You know, it's not just for us to be able to see things and have a suspicion. It's not just, I'll tell you, with people that are psychiatrists. I've met people that are philosophers, psychiatrists, and I always feel a little bit nervous around psychiatrists just because of who they are. I just feel like everything that I say, every way that I smile, every expression on my face, they're probably sitting there observing and trying to discern and read my whole life story because of a look on my face. I don't like that. You know, the Lord is not calling us to be suspicious people. He's not calling us to go around looking at everybody and suspiciously and running the other way. But He's calling for us to be in tune with His Spirit, to have a spiritual sensitivity that's educated not by fears and suspicion, but educated by the Spirit of God. That's the source of discernment. That's what discernment is and where it comes from. The Holy Spirit communing with our spirit, informing us, educating us, helping us to be able to understand there's something not right here. Be careful. There's something here that's of danger. Stand back and observe it. Don't go running full force like all the simple ones are. Be wise. Be prudent. Stand back and observe and let the Lord commune with you before you run out into something that could be a trap of the enemy. To have wisdom, it means to be able to see it, number one. We've got to be able to have our eyes open to see what's going on around us. Lord, help us, has been my prayer for some time. Lord, help us to see where the enemy's working. Lord, help us to see the tactics that He's using in our generation, in our time that we're in today. Because the enemy has changed his tactics so many times. He's changed his techniques. He's still the same enemy, still trying to accomplish the same goals. But he changes his tactics and his techniques. And it is for us to be able to have the discernment and spiritual understanding to say, no, Satan, I see you. You're not hiding. You're not disguised over there. I see you and I call you out exactly for what you are. And that's many times half the battle. It is, number one, to see it. Number two, to know what it means. There are people in our world today that feel fear. They know that things are happening. They can sense it's maybe even almost like the animals, this sense something's changing here. There's something that's happening here in our world today. There's unrest. What's causing all the shootings? What's causing all the violence? Why is our country moving in the direction it is? They see it. But to see is not enough. We must be able to know what it means. We must be able to have an understanding not only to see the things unfold before us, but having eyes to see means having more than just seeing the form that happens. Just as having ears to hear means more than hearing the sound of the words that go forth. Lord, help us to have eyes that see, that discern, that understand. Number two. Number three is to be able to know the correct course of action to take. To be able to know when I see it, when I understand what it means, to be able to know, Lord, what do I do with it? What do we do now? Now I see the enemy. I know where he's working. But Lord, I'm powerless of myself. Lord, help me to know, teach my hands to war. Help me to know what I do with it now. Is how the Lord wants us to have a sensitivity to the things of God. You can read of the sons of Issachar. The children of Issachar, is said, they were men that had understanding. 1 Chronicles 12. I'll turn and read this. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. You know, we need to be children of Issachar today. We need to be able to be as these men were, to be able to see the things that are happening around us, to be able to know what it means, to be able to know then, Lord, help us to be children of understanding. To be able to know in our generation, you know, the times are changing. The times aren't what our fathers faced. They're not what our grandfathers faced. We're facing new things. We're facing new technologies and new things that we're confronted with and new ideologies, and humanism has taken a new development and a new turn. Lord, help us to know in our times, to have a discernment of the times that we live in, and to then have the understanding to know what Israel ought to do. Oh, how we need people. We need men and women that are spiritually sensitive to the Spirit of God, that are tuned with the Spirit of God, that have a spiritual vision and prayer with and communion with the Lord, to see and have the Lord reveal to us, here's where the enemy's working. Here's what the enemy's doing in the world. Here's where the church of God needs to be standing right now. Here's where I want you to stand. Here's how I want you to approach this situation. Oh, we have things that are beyond our limited wisdom. Lord, help us to be as the sons and the children of Issachar, to have discernment of the times and what we ought to do in the times that we're living in. So I'd like to consider, by turning to the 8th chapter of Romans, what's it going to take for us to be spiritually sensitive? I mentioned to you that people are sensitive many times to the things they give themselves to, whether it's politics, sensitive maybe to sports, statistics of players, and things that are happening and unfolding in the cycle of the sports season and things like that. They have sensitivity to the things they give themselves to. People are, many times you see stories of the lines at Apple stores whenever the new iPhone is released. People are given to technology. They're given to new devices, new electronics, and new releases, things like that. I've got a phone. I don't have a problem using this world as not abusing it. But to give ourselves to it, and they're so attuned to the latest releases and rumors of the latest gadget that's coming out, and here's what it's going to, and they could tell you all about all the statistics and all those things, and the Lord is calling for us to be a people that are given to Him, calling for us to be a people that are a peculiar people, set apart from the world that the world looks on as strange. We give ourselves to something different than what the world gives themselves to. But we give ourselves unto the Lord. We give ourselves unto His service, unto our consecration as, Lord, I'm Yours. I belong to You. I'm in Your hands to use as You want to use me. It's not just insane. It's not just an empty doctrine that's been passed down of sanctification, but in practical everyday living. Lord, I'm Yours. I give myself, I pour myself out as the woman with the alabaster box. Lord, I give myself to You. I'm Yours at Your disposal. You know, just as those that develop a sensitivity by being outdoors to the things of the outdoors, by being involved in politics to the things of politics, we can develop a sensitivity to the things of God. We can develop or we can grow in the things of the Lord. So I want to read Romans chapter 8. Reading of the new law, the new covenant, the work of Jesus Christ. It's no longer under the bondage and the curse of the law and of the flesh, but the law of the Spirit of life, verse 2, in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and of death. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. They that are after the flesh, they that have given themselves unto the flesh. You know, folks, this is a constant and an ongoing battle. I don't care how spiritual we are or how close to the Lord we are. It makes a difference. It makes a difference in our success in this battle. But every one of us are faced with this battle of the flesh that's warring against the Spirit. The lust of the flesh, I believe we heard reference this morning, abstain from fleshly lust, that war against the Spirit. There's something that's at war, at variance, at enmity with each other. The way of the flesh and the way of the Spirit. Oh, how easy it is for us to be attuned to the things of the flesh, even in things that could be harmless. You know, there's a reason why the Lord instituted fasting. Maybe this isn't the entirety of it. But you know, it's so easy for us to be tuned in to the needs of my body. So easy for me. I don't very often miss the message that my body sends me that, you know what, you haven't eaten supper. You need to eat. I'm very sensitive to those things, as you can tell. I'm very sensitive to those messages, those signals, or those feelings. And so it is easy for all of us, the need for sleep, the need for, or the desire for comfort, the need for food. Folks, if left on our own course, that's what we're going to tend towards. That's what we're going to tend to pamper is the flesh. The way of the flesh and the comforts of the flesh and the things that I want and the things that I enjoy. It's why we have to bring under our body, as Paul did, from day to day, to die daily unto the flesh, to keep under my body so that I can serve the Lord, that I don't mind the things that are after the flesh. But oh, whenever we follow the Lord and seeking the Lord to draw close to Him and maybe set aside a day or some time that I'm fasting and, Lord, I want to tune in. The song that says, thinking of Thee, O Lord of Thee. The end of that chorus says, till every chord within my heart is tuned by heavenly love. You know, sometimes we can get a little bit out of tune. Sometimes our spirit and our mind and don't be conformed to the world. The world has a way of, just in the daily interaction with the world, of getting us out of tune a little bit. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, to have the Spirit of God tune us by His Spirit, to get us back in tune. Lord, I'm seeking You. Not just a casual prayer in passing, but Lord, I'm setting aside some things. I want to tune out for a little while the needs of the flesh. Lord, I want to tune into the needs of the Spirit. I want to tune in. I want to hear the voice of the Spirit. You know, it repays the hunger pains. Whenever the Spirit is willing, folks, it's more important, more necessary, Job said, than my needful food, or more precious than my necessary food, are the words of thy mouth, Lord. I've esteemed them greater. So Lord, help. I just want to challenge us this morning. What are we minding in our lives? Are we minding the things of the flesh, or are we minding the things of the Spirit? If we mind the things of the flesh, or if we're after the flesh, we're going to mind. Or to mind is to give attention to give priority to allow room for. If we're minding and following the Spirit, walking after the Spirit, why did He say you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh then? You walk after the Spirit, you're going to mind the things of the Spirit. We're going to be spiritually inclined, spiritually minded. It's not a natural thing. But whenever we're walking after the Spirit, listening to His voice, allowing Him to tune our hearts, you know, that's whenever we'll have a love for the Word of God. So I say, Lord, how is my spiritual sensitivity? You know, there are indicators for us. If I find myself in a place that I just can't hardly bring myself to read the Word of God, you know, we're not always going to feel exuberance to go read the Bible. We're not always, when we read it, going to feel elation and excitement and happiness. But you know, as we give ourselves to the Spirit, we're going to mind the things of the Spirit. We're going to be tuned more and more the closer we draw to God. We'll be tuned more and more to spiritual things. We'll find our appetite for spiritual things increasing. One of the greatest killers of spiritual appetite is following after the flesh. You won't have a spiritual appetite. So I want to warn us this morning. Let's beware of those things in our lives that dull our sensitivity. The Apostle Paul spoke of those in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, who being past feeling. You know, I was talking about this very thing. It wasn't an overnight thing. It wasn't just to wake up. Our country didn't just wake up and all of a sudden we're not moved by the things that are around us. But slowly, little by little, by minding the things of the flesh, the spiritual sensitivities become numbed more and more. It's like adding callus to callus to callus until you get to a point that the song says, thy conscience once so keen to feel, thy spirit sent to reprove, no more is stirred at God's appeal. There's no more that spirit that once was so tender and so soft. If we're not careful, folks, it can happen to any one of us. We allow ourselves to become, by the busyness of life, to become so overcharged and so overcrowded in our lives that it numbs us. Folks, it's something that I battle. It's something maybe that some of you battle. That we can come to service, our lives so chock full that I hardly have time. It's almost like grinding gears, if we're not careful, to shut everything down, to try to think about the service, to try to listen to the message. Lord, help us that we mind spiritual things. I'm not here to reprimand or to scold, but I'm saying, Lord, help us that we be challenged to mind the things of the Spirit, to follow the leadings and the prompts and the voice of His Spirit. So beware those things in your life and in my life that can lead me to a place that desensitizes me. The things that we spend our time on. You know, this world is drunk on entertainment. This world is so bent on entertainment. Entertainment of the flesh. Entertainment is a diversion. It's something, and I want to be clear here. I'm not saying entertainment is wrong. I'm not saying entertainment that's wholesome, that's in its place, there's anything wrong with. But I want us to be cautious about the full of the flesh to need entertainment. To need to constantly be entertained, to be pampered of entertainment that is of the world. Of entertainment that tends to ungodliness. Of entertainment that conveys the message of the world. Folks, that is pretty clear in Scripture. Leave it alone. Run from it. Don't set those things before us. Don't indulge ourselves in our lives by those things that tend to the flesh. That's setting ourselves up for failure. But even of entertainment, you know, even sometimes I get tired in my mind, in my body, and I just feel like doing nothing. I just feel like kicking back and not doing a thing, and there's nothing wrong with that in its place. But if we're not careful, the flesh will call for that all the time. If we're not careful, every opportunity I get. So we talk about the busyness of life. And indeed, it is busy. But if we follow the Spirit, we'll mind the things of the Spirit. The things of the flesh, we'll find time for the things of the flesh. And if we're not careful, the enemy is so faithful. Hate to attribute the word to him, but he is so faithful to offer to us things that fill our time. Folks, he's going to guarantee that you stay busy. He's going to guarantee that every one of us really don't have enough time for the Lord. Really, I just don't have the time that I just don't have time to really spend with the Lord. Beware. Those things that would crowd in our lives, that would begin to numb the voice of God. You know, I found sometimes, even in the busyness of life, I mentioned fasting and prayer and spending time with the Lord. Just as when I've been with someone that's spent so much time in the woods, and I think, you know, I've walked by that and I've never noticed that before. You know, I've come this way and I've never observed that. You know, with spiritual things as well, sometimes I've been ashamed. Lord, what have I missed? Lord, what have I missed just going through the day? Because I'm so busy and I'm so crowded and I'm running here and there. And whenever I really, Lord, I'm focused on You today. Lord, I want to tune my heart to heavenly love. And I begin to hear clearer. You see, it's like the radio that you're getting all the static. You're getting all the noise. Folks, there's so much noise that we're going to pick up. If we don't tune our hearts to the things of the Spirit, I want to be able to hear. And then as you begin to tune in, you begin to follow the Spirit. You begin to give yourself to the Lord more and more. You know, that voice becomes clearer and clearer. That call, that voice that sometimes can seem so murky and staticky and hard to understand. Folks, let's get closer. Let's tune our hearts in a greater way, with greater sensitivity to the things of God. That we not just go through life oblivious, missing all the messages. You know, I've heard it said there's a message in every song. You know, there's a message in so many things just in life around us. Nature bears a message of the love of God. And if we're tuned to the Spirit, you know, the Lord has a way of using the events of our lives. The Lord has a way of using the things that we see to talk to us, to bring a thought to our mind, to bring a scripture and begin to... But if we're not careful, because it is a still small voice, we'll crowd it out to where we don't hear it. We'll crowd it out to where we get to the place like Balaam. He didn't hear the voice. In fact, he got to the place... The donkey was acting like a donkey doesn't act, usually. He even gets to the point that the donkey speaks out. You'd think that'd be enough to get his attention. You know, sometimes if we get tuned out from hearing the voice of the Lord, if we're tuned in to what the flesh wants all the time, and what the world is calling out, and that's what we're tuned to, the donkey can be talking and I'm not even hearing it. I'm not even getting the message. The Lord's sending this in my life saying, hello, wake up, are you listening to me? I'm going to send this your way. And if I'm not careful, I'll be oblivious to it all. And be like the simple man that passes on and finds himself in trouble spiritually. I don't want a donkey to have to talk to me. And a donkey won't have to talk to us if we'll be in tune with the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord's, I heard the believer, the Larry, use the scripture Wednesday. He maketh my heart soft. You know, that's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to keep our hearts soft where the roughness of this world and life would begin to develop calluses on our heart, on our conscience, on our mind, where we're not able to hear the still small voice of the Lord throughout the day. Maybe I come to services and I don't get much out of it. It seems like I just don't hear the voice of the Lord. I read the scriptures and it seems like I just never seem to get anything out of it. And so as a natural course, I tend to get discouraged about it, not want to spend much time with the Lord. But the Lord would help us that our heart be made soft, that I could hear His voice. Whenever that still small voice sent to reprove, sent to check us, sent to inform us and show us, you know, there's some danger here in your life. There's something ahead of you here that's going to cause some problems down the road, that I don't have to wait and pass on simply oblivious and get to the point that I'm in trouble and then say, how did this happen? Because I wasn't hearing the voice of the Lord. So may the Lord help us this morning that we be sensitive to the things of the Spirit, sensitive to the things of God, to be able to hear and discern and understand His voice. You pray for me. Amen.